I'm going to try to go fast. I have handouts for everything, so if I go too fast and I skip everything...
Plan on skipping slides.
Okay. Anyways, this is what I'll go over, and you'll see it soon. Basically, RadMine is developed by the Research Systems Group, Unix Group at Michigan, and I appreciate their work on this. They're really great and really responsive on tech support, and they have a mailing list and it has archives, and that's really great. Where you get the source code installer, you just go to www.radmine.org, and you'll get this webpage, and there's a Mac OS X link. They also do iHook, which Justin mentioned. They also do a GUI called RadMine Assistant. What is it? It's a suite of command line utilities that run on client and server. They're developing a graphical user interface that does most of the functionality on the client side. Just a couple features are missing, now I'm bugging about it. Supported platforms, runs under Mac OS X, Solaris, FreeBSD, OpenBSD, and Linux. The requirements, you can run under Mac OS 10.1.3, and they said you could probably do it on 10.1. I don't know why anybody would, but if you wanted to have some fun, I guess. Okay, now I'm going over some basic concepts. I usually thought some newbies that are trying to use RadMine, this is usually the first place they kind of run into some problems. Okay, so RadMine, the server side, handles communication in between the client and the server. It also handles file transfers in between the client and server. It also handles the storage of the file system of the clients, which are the file system description and associated files. The client basically handles these options. It scans the file system, it uploads the file system descriptions and associated files, and restores the local file system to its pristine state. I'll pause here for a second. This is kind of funny. First thing you do is you install stuff. This is a phony installer we created. The next thing you do, the software scans the client file system, and it saves a description of the file system. Then the software reads the file system description just created and then upload the description associated files to the file system. It uses its own protocol. I'm not sure what it is, actually. I think it's like
6.62.
Yeah, okay. Thanks. A basic overview of the client, what you do is you download a file, and then that downloads specific file descriptions to the client. Next, the tools scan locally on the client to create a description of the file system. Then it compares that file description to your deployed file description on the client and creates a differences description. Then that differences description, it downloads particular files from the server that it needs to bring the client to a pristine state and sets attributes and permissions. It also removes files. Why use this? Network usage. RadMine tries to minimize the amount of network traffic as opposed to tools like ASR. ASR usually has to transfer the whole image down to the machine. RadMine tries to only distribute the differences on the local file system. It also does a scan on the local file system. Other tools that I've used, RevRDIS and other people have used Simulator, usually does a scan across the network. It also allows you to remotely control and administer multiple file systems. There's tools like ASR. Some people use ASR Local or Carbon Copy Cloner Local. Great tools, but they don't allow you to remotely manage the file system. Doesn't require to use DHCP as opposed to NetInstall and NetBoot. Also great tools, but... it also allows you to manage by certificate. This is useful if you have roaming laptops or something else. You want a time machine and update the file system based on that. It also allows you, has built-in tools to do software management. You can scan the whole file system and figure out what a package installs. Could be buried in multiple locations, and it keeps track of those individual pieces and also uploads to those to a server and creates a description of that install.
So those are similar to the tools that Kevin described for rsync, but customized.
Right. Okay, basic client management. Was trying to show here that's really easy. To distribute file system, there's one file on the server. An example, we have a graphics.k, and I'll get into that later, which could have OS 10 and these particular applications on it. If I want to switch that, I also have a general k, which could be more public access, stuff like Office, web browsers. And if I just want to switch them between those two applications, all I have to do is change the name. It's really easy. Some terms and lingo. What you have is a transcript. This is an example of a transcript. It's basically all the file system objects, and I'll go over the specific columns. The first column is called file kind. You have different variables. You have A for apple kind, which is a file that contains metadata. D, it's further down, it represents a directory. F is a file, and L is a link. Second one is kind of obvious. It's the path to the file system object. Oops. This one represents permissions. Owner, group, modification date of the file, size of the file, and checksum. A positive transcript. A positive transcript is a transcript that has all the file system objects that the file system must match and match all attributes. A negative transcript is also a transcript that has file system objects that must match, but it only sets certain attributes. People are familiar with RevRDS. It's kind of analogous to using AISU. So it basically ignores those locally set certain permissions. If it doesn't exist on the client, it downloads it. A load set. Does everybody know what a load set is?
Yep.
Okay. Baseload. Does everybody know what a baseload is? No? Okay. A baseload, according to Radmine, is your primary load set. It depends on how you're going to deploy. It could be Mac OS X. It could be Mac OS X in your default applications you're distributing with your overload. Or it could be, you could treat it like ASR. You could create a whole image of the whole hard drive. You have a master machine. You go up and just update that, create the whole overload again, and distribute that. Here's an example of a baseload. A baseload could just be Mac OS X, the associated files, and then the file system description. And these would basically, I'll get into those a little bit later. Originally, the baseload, when we started using this after WWDC, I saw a demo of Radmine and go, oh, this looks pretty cool. I started playing with it. I was trying to do something similar we were doing with RevRDS, and it didn't really fit in the same mold. Basically, we were setting up the OS to contain some of our default global applications and then our admin modifications. That didn't seem very flexible, and we wanted a little bit better functionality, more functionality distributing different software in different places. So that's kind of the direction we're going with newer updates of it. Overload, I talked about, it's basically a smaller additional. Could be a software update, could it be a specific software install, could be admin modifications, could be modifications to printer configuration, user passwords, et cetera, et cetera. In the previous example, this was the base load, and these would be considered two overloads. A command file you can kind of treat as a machine load set. It's basically the file system you're distributing to the machine. In the previous examples, this line here in the negative transcript would be considered part of the baseload. This line here, which would be 10.2.1 update, would be considered overload. Office, or I could do individual Office applications, could be considered an overload also. Command files is also the order based on precedence. So from lowest to highest. So the negative transcript would have the highest precedence. So any file system objects in here would basically, the action would be done on this transcript versus the ones above it. Pliable transcript. This is basically a transcript where you go in, scan the file system from the client to the deployed file system, anything different on the client, it makes that a pliable transcript and then applies it to the client to bring the client back to your default pristine state. A creatable transcript is basically a transcript you use to create an overload. You bring your machine to a pristine state, install an application, run the tools, it creates a creatable load set or description, sorry. And then what it does is you allow that to be uploaded to the server, and that's a creatable load set. Checksum everybody knows about. Okay, brief. Try to go over this real fast. The first tool is FSDiff. You can kind of consider it as the core RadMine tool. This is the one that does the scanning of the file system. It never talks over the network. LCreate is how you create your load sets, upload them to the server once you have the transcript on the local client. LApply is how you basically take the differences on the local machine from your deployed machine and update your local machine to a pristine state. KTCheck basically handles downloading the command file and associated transcripts with that command file. LCKSum basically does a size and checksum when you upload your files and associate your description and files to the server. It compares those on the server just to make sure there's no corruption or modifications. LMerge is kind of useful. Say if you have 10.2.1 and you want to do an update to 10.2.2, you could basically do a separate overload of 10.2.2 and then merge those two together into 10.2.2. I'm going to give a little background of how we're, like I said, after WWDC in June, we started using RadMine. We were using 10.1.5. We used kind of the same methodology we were using with RevRDIS, a larger base load. Go through here. We're using early version RadMine. We started out with our kiosks. Stage two, we added Kerberos and LDAP integration authentication. We also deployed a teaching lab, multimedia, Maya, Final Cut Pro. We also started deploying student labs and staff machines. Currently, we're using 10.2.1. We could have had 10.2.2, but we had to prepare for this presentation. And we're also currently using 9.1. We're deploying on kiosks, and we're really using a really small overset. Basically, we're using a vanilla 10.2.1, and all our overloads are for admin, the individual software, modifications, and printers are all overloads. When to run, you can run on logout. The TTYS file, which Justin talked about, so I won't go over that. You can use iHook, which also Justin talked about. And this kind of gives an example. This is their default look, and this is the way we've kind of modified it for the users. Other logout options people are using during a certain time period, maybe at night, certain number of logouts. We kind of thought running at logout was not very user-friendly, so we actually run off hours, and I'll get over that a little bit. One option you can run it at is manually. Here's an example of something we're using at our own application that you can double-click on. It prompts the user, do they really want to run it? And then it logs them out and runs the application. You can also run it on login. We create a user, so we have a login window displaying. A consultant notice that hasn't been updated for a while can log in this particular user, starts, it updates the machine. You can also run it on schedule, which is the main way we're doing it, based on cron jobs. It also detects just in case there's a user on the machine broken some lab at night and logged in. It'll prompt them, you know, you're going to be logged off and then run. You can also run in single user mode. With 10.1.5, we ran into problems every now and then where the machine wouldn't completely log in. So we actually created a script that we can log in single user mode, just touch it. It'd delete a trigger file and start running on startup. We also have, based on the trigger file, it'll catch if a user comes in, it's running, it starts running RadMine, they don't want it to, reset the machine, it'll just keep running until it completes. You can also do network-based SSH, a web server where you can have it curl the local, have a cron job curl and look for an identifier on the. So you could have staff that could say run it on the click a checkbox and it would automatically run based on that. customizing scripts. These are some things we're doing. You can type I won't go to this command, but you can type these two commands, which would scan the file system, create a creatable overload, and then upload it to the server, or you could create a custom script to just do it one line. It's really a little bit easier for other people to remain. It's not as technical. You can also do these three lines when you want to prep your machine to create an overload, and we just call it prep for overload. Another addition to those is we actually have it do speech after it's done. So I have a main machine, and then I have two machines that burn in it. Tell me, we are done now. And I look at the machine and go, okay, let's do something else. You can also do backups, and I kind of recommend if you're experimenting with RadMine, initially when you're playing with the load sets, doing merge, moving things around, create a script that does the verification, moving, and also maybe stick in another folder for backup. Just in case you have a problem with the load set, you can always go to the previous load set. One thing we've been doing a lot, because we're basically me and James have to go around the labs, and we wanted a visual way to tell if the status of it. So we have different options. We're using a custom system menu, and we also modified the login panel. We also have a web database that curls, and we get a status on the web database when RadMine is run in all the labs. This is an initial installer we created that basically allows you to install however you want to install it through a CD. You just use a macOS 10 initial install CD. You run the installer, reboot, it updates the machine. Just walk away. We noticed a lot of users didn't get it was performing maintenance, so we just showing this example, try to make it really obvious. If you use iHook and it's running something, so the user can't figure it out. We also are using, which I mentioned, a specific user, which is useful. You have a bunch of machines displaying the login window. You don't want to log in, have to click on something, so you just log in a particular user to run RadMine. We also run a cron job off hours. You can run it manually. If a user runs in and knows there's an update, they can actually run RadMine to get that update and single user mode. The visual status, we're using something called menu versum right here, and it shows the status. Green means it ran. MH means the days of the week we wanted to run, and then 10.2 is when it ran. Other people suggested using the Apple menu or the dock, and we thought this was always visible. If there's errors, we use our red version icon, and then we have different codes depending on the problem. Customizing the login panel, what we did is a similar thing. Use a green icon, pretty much the same thing. The day, WS, Wednesday, Saturday, and the day it ran. We also have, I talked about that, we're uploading stuff, the status when it ran, to a database. One suggestion, we have about 400 overloads, is try to figure out how you're breaking up your overloads and put them in certain categories. It's a lot easier to find things if you're viewing them in a list, or if you want to programmatically strip things out of a command file, it makes it a little bit easier. BBEdit, I like BBEdit, so just make sure you do these two options or it'll work fine with RadMine. Pico, you have to be careful with sometimes. Even if you do the minus W option, it'll still corrupt the files, and then you'll get some weird errors when you're using RadMine. So you have to be careful with that. The command file, this is one thing when I initially used it, the command file might be called kiosk.k, but when it downloads on the client, it's always called command.k. And that was a little confusing when I first used it. One useful tool I found is use Pacifist. If you have package installers and you want to compare what it should install versus what the RadMine tools thought it installed, because sometimes the OS is modifying other things and sometimes installers don't name things, so it's not really obvious what really did get installed, you might try looking at Pacifist. We have handouts available, right, Matt?
Yep.
Okay. The RadMine presentation, we have a detailed description which gives all our Perl scripts that we're using, we're giving to everybody. They can use them and play with them. We also have the tutorial done by the RadMine group, TLS cookbook, shows you how to set up the certificates, Then Radmine Man Pages. And everything will hopefully be posted that I talked about here to our website. And that's it. Thanks.
We have time for questions.
Yeah, any questions?
So, like, can you just go through the whole presentation again, slower?
Was that too fast? Sorry.
My brain is a little fuzzy right now because that was a lot of information to absorb. But
I'm sorry about that.
I think we ought to get him on a webcast myself. I think this is a good session.
You mentioned you have Maya. Is that single use or site license Maya?
We're using FlexLM, so I think it's something 30 licenses. Yeah.
Any problems rolling that out?
Not with the Radmine. We're having problems. We're trying to track down permissions, but we've been busy, so we haven't been able. But with Radmine, no.
What directions are you going with continued development, assuming you are?
I don't develop Radmine. It's developed by the Radmine group at University of Michigan. I'm just showing their stuff. So you'd have to email them. Okay.
Chris? I just want to say that it seems overwhelming on Radmine. It does take a lot of work to get through the syntax and language at all. But I've been using it for a while now. It's well worth the effort of getting to know it if you have a slightly complex setup and you need to do sort of customization.
Well, I'm not second that because I also been using Radmine since 0.6, and I actually don't do it from the next server. I actually do it from the Linux box because it's a hell of a lot cheaper. So, and also, I can pass it off to system support because I don't have to deal with it. And it works great on Linux. I mean, I changed all my other things from the Linux box.
Let me add one thing. We did a lab of 30 machines with our installer. We just went around with FireDrop, ASR, and we did a couple, just a clean install. Ran installer, just walked away. It did the 30 machines in 40 minutes, which isn't too bad. And we actually did things accidental, 10.1.5 to 10.2.1, and accidentally it downgraded it, and it worked great. And then we upgraded it again. So it's a great tool.
They've got a good tutorial on their website.
Yeah, they do. They do.
A little quick question for Radmine folks here. One of the things that I was working on, I've asked Richard in the past, I'm curious how you guys submit them. When I created baseload set, one of the files, I wanted to modify that set. So instead of making a new transcript and then merging that into that one, I heard this in this method. Merging can take a long time. It takes quite a long time to process a lot of files. How do you guys merge or put a file back into a load system?
What actually my coworker does, and I don't do it, it seems a little bit more dangerous, is on the server he modifies the transcripts and the files.
I just modify the file directly
and then update the transcript.
And then I run FSDiff if you check some basic
right. I just use L
checksum. Oh, it updates it automatically.
Could that be dangerous though? Let's say a file is modified, trying to read the data file and actually transcript. It's possible a client. If you modify that, it can show on that file and say, whoa, that's on that file.
So yeah, that's why I recommend doing a backup just in case and then play with your non-client version. It puts it in a temp directory. Start playing with that one. If you break something, you're not going to hurt your clients.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Thanks for your time.
All right,